Sometimes the most familiar is the most overlooked. Sometimes the most familiar is the most unappreciated. You've heard the saying, and I have too, and it applies to my message or to my introduction tonight. And it's the saying is this: you don't know what you have until you lose it. You don't know what you have until you don't have it anymore. It happens with, for example, conveniences. How many of you got up this morning and thanked God for running water? And I didn't either. I didn't get up this morning and thank God for electricity. But I tell you what, if I didn't have running water and electricity this morning, I would have missed it greatly. So it happens with conveniences like that. We don't realize what we have, and we don't appreciate them until we don't have them. It happens with certain body parts. How many of you got up this morning and thanked God that your little toe was healthy? I didn't. But I tell you what, let your little toe get broke and you'll realize how important that little digit is. Little finger. I mean, we don't think about what it does or what it helps us do, but get a cast on it, and you'll see how much you use your little finger, and you don't realize it until you can't use it anymore. Same thing happens with people. We're around people all the time for a long time, and if we're not careful, we begin to take them for granted. We don't appreciate them. And the saying is often true in that case: you don't really realize and appreciate what you have until you lose it. Now, that's not my message tonight, but I'll just park here just for a second and say that's not the way it ought to be. We ought to be appreciative of one another every opportunity that we have. All the little children here tonight ought to be appreciative of mom and dad. You ought to say thank you. You ought to be appreciative of grandpa and grandma. And we ought to be appreciative of each other. And so many times, thank you is the last thing we think about to say, but there'll come times in life where we wish we could say thank you to somebody and tell them how much we appreciate them, but we can't. I can remember when I was a teenager, my pastor's wife always said this. She said, "I'd rather have my flowers when I'm alive." And what she was saying is, don't wait till I die and send my flowers to the funeral home. Send them to me now, because I'd rather have them now. I'd rather know that people appreciate me now than to wait till I'm dead and say it over my casket. And I would just encourage us all, we ought to be that way. We ought to be appreciative of each other now. But that same thing, the being overlooked, being unappreciated, also happens to Bible verses. I'll mention just a couple of them. And when I say the verse, it'll be like that story I heard one time. A bunch of guys were in this room, and one guy would stand up and call out, 42! And the whole room would just burst into laughter. Another guy would stand up and call out, 78! And the whole room would just burst into laughter. And this guy was standing by the door, and he could not figure out what was going on. And he asked somebody that was sitting there close, and he says, "What in the world is going on? These guys are standing up calling out numbers, and they're just the whole room is bursting into laughter. I just don't understand it." And the guy said, "Hey, look, we're all comedians, and we all know each other's jokes, so we got them numbered. So to save time, we just called out the number, and everybody knows the joke." Now, it might be a bad example, but I'll call out some scripture verses tonight, and I dare say everybody here will know the verses I'm talking about. John 3:16, Romans 5:8, Jeremiah 33:3. And there are others that I could call out that, I mean, you'll be able to quote them. You'll say, "Hey, I've studied those in Sunday school. I've heard sermons about it." And if we're not careful, we'll take the most familiar and we won't appreciate it very much. We won't realize what we have. I've told you the story before about that bus that was going through the Grand Canyon. And there was a young man, this was his first trip to the Grand Canyon, and he had his face just pressed up with his nose pressed against the window, looking out, and everything he saw, he'd go, "Ooh, ah." I mean, everything he saw was just a wonder to him. He said, this is so beautiful. This is just so amazing. And on the same bus, there was a lady that was reading a book, and the whole trip, she had her nose in the book, just like this. I mean, she never looked out the window once. And here was this young man just enjoying every sight that he saw. Here was a lady that wasn't even looking out the window. And after the bus had unloaded, he went over to her and he said, ma'am, I couldn't help but notice you read your book all the way through the bus ride. Didn't you enjoy the Grand Canyon? And she said, son, I've been on this trip 13 different times. I've seen everything there is to see. Now, I would submit to you that even though you went through the Grand Canyon 13 different times, you probably haven't seen everything there is to see. And so many times we think about verses like John 3:16, for example, and we say, hey, I can quote it. I've heard Sunday school lessons about it. I've heard preachers preach about it. I know everything there is to know about John 3:16. I've heard it and seen it all. And I would submit tonight, no, you haven't. The Bible is an inexhaustible book. The Bible is a book that we will never, ever, I don't think even after 10,000 years in heaven, exhaust the meaning of John 3:16. In fact, it may take us 10,000 years in heaven just to scratch the surface of a verse like John 3:16. And so, with that as an introduction, I want to take a very familiar verse. And if you weren't paying attention, if you weren't careful, you might not even have noticed that I read it tonight in our scripture reading. And that's verse 24 of Psalm 118, where the Bible says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I want to use that verse, very familiar verse. Verse that all of you have heard, verse that many of you can quote. I want to use that verse to answer the question tonight, what should we do with today? What should we do with today? And to answer that question, I want to make three statements. Number one, we need to realize that today was made by God. Today was made by God. This is the day which the Lord hath made. And here's what I want you to think about tonight. Here's the truth that I want you to get tonight. Today was designed by God for you. For you, God had every moment of this day planned. And everything that has happened to you so far today and will happen to you the rest of the day was prepared by God just for you. At work, every so often, we have what we call customer appreciation trips. And these are trips that we'll give to our best customers, customers that buy a lot of parts from us. And we hire a company. They're down in St. Louis, Missouri. That doesn't mean anything. But we hire a company that puts these trips together. And they're usually to some, you know, spot around the globe, some nice spot where we want to take the customers and just show them our appreciation. Tell them thank you for doing business with us. I've got to go as a host on some of those trips. And I've been to Hawaii a couple times on one of those trips. Been to Sydney, Australia. Been to Paris, France. Been to Denmark. Been to Phoenix, Arizona. And when you go on those trips, every moment of the day is planned. In fact, when you get your itinerary in the mail before you go, it's like, okay, so when you get there, here's the schedule. At 8 o'clock is breakfast, 8 to 9. From 9 to 12, we're going to go sightseeing. We're going to go out to this camp. We're going to get on the bus at 9 o'clock, and we're going to go out to this place, and we're going to just see the sights of this place. We'll be back at noon. And from noon to 1, we're going to have lunch. And from 1 to 3, you have your choice. You can either go shopping or you can just spend time at the swimming pool. At 3 o'clock, we're all going to get back together. We're going to get back on the bus. One of these things I've never understood is why they put us on the bus so often. I mean, I've come to hate riding the bus. But anyhow, we're going to get back on the bus at 3 o'clock. And from 3 to 5, we're going to go see some other point of local interest. We're going to be back at 5 o'clock. And at 5:30, we want you all in the dining room, because from 5:30 to 7:30, we're going to have dinner. And from 7:30 to 9, there's an after-dinner show. And from 9 to 10, there's a hospitality room where you can go and get a snack and a Coke or something. And lights out at 10 o'clock, because it all starts over at 8 o'clock the next morning with breakfast. And it could be a 3-day trip or a 5-day trip. Every single day, every hour of the day is planned. Now, and by the way, if you get off the schedule, they have the tour guides that are there, that just like shepherds, to get you back. They actually have people that come out and search for you and get you back on the bus to make sure you're on the bus at the appointed time. Now, it may be a bad example, but I'm just trying to make the point tonight that if you stop and think about it, when we say the phrase, when that verse in the Bible says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made," the truth of that verse is that God has done the same thing for us today. God has planned this day for us. God has designed this day for us. God put in His plan today a time of sleep. I'm starting the clock at midnight, okay? Hopefully most of you were asleep at midnight. If you wasn't, you should have been on a Saturday night, Chantel. But you started the day asleep. And God had a plan for a time for you to get up. You might have thought it was when the alarm clock went off, but I dare say some of you got up this morning before the alarm clock went off. God had something to wake you up. He perhaps had a breakfast time. He had a time for you to come to church. He had a time for you to spend in prayer. He had a time for you to read the Bible. He had a lunchtime planned. Maybe an activity this afternoon. Maybe a time of meditation that you spent in a horizontal position, either in your favorite chair or on the couch. But God had a rest time planned for you. He had a time for you to come back to church. He's got something planned for you after church. And I want to point out to you that there wasn't, in God's schedule, in God's plan for today, there wasn't any accidents. There wasn't any schedule interruptions. There weren't any unplanned events that happened to any single one of us today, because everything that happened today was put on your schedule and on my schedule, was planned for you and for me, was executed, that plan was executed for you and me by God. Everything that happened. That's what that verse means. It says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made." He made this day for us and planned it and designed it just for us. Now, I would remind you that God loves us. The Bible tells us, He says, I'm God and I have loved you with an everlasting love. And God has some holy desires for us. He wants us to mature. He wants us to grow. He wants us to achieve. He wants us to serve. He wants us to enjoy. And everything that God put on the plan for today for you, and everything that God put on the plan for today for me, was for my good and was for your good. I mean, every single thing that happened to you today. And I'm sure some of you would say, "Well, Brother Darrell, there was an interruption in my day today. There was an unexpected happening in my day today." What may have been unexpected to us, it may have been unplanned by us, but I want to tell you tonight, it wasn't unexpected to God. It wasn't unplanned by God. Everything that happened in our life today was designed and planned and brought about by a God in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but that thought and that truth thrills my soul. I mean, a lot of times I say like David did in Psalm chapter 8, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? I mean, David said, hey, when I look in the heavens and I see the moon and the stars and I see the sun, when I look around the earth and see everything that God's made, what am I? What am I? I mean, you stop and think about it. The God that made everything, the God that holds everything together, the omnipotent God, the all-powerful God, the omniscient God, the all-knowing God, the omnipresent God, the everywhere God, listen to this, planned and designed today for you. And he planned and designed today for me. I mean, I just want to sit back and say, Brian, I just want to say, wow. Wow. I mean, just stop and think about it. The God that spoke the heavens into existence, the God that spoke everything we see into existence, took the time and the effort to plan today for me. And he took the time to plan today for you. I mean, there was not one thing that happened in our life today that God didn't put on our schedule. Maybe skiing, Joe. I don't know if he put that on there. But even that, I mean, God knew what we were going to do. God knew what was going to come into our life. He knew the choices that we were going to make. And everything that happened today was designed and planned by God. It's like a teacher with a lesson plan, or a chef with a menu, or a conductor with an orchestra with a concert. I mean, all those people have detailed plans of what's going to happen. And so does God. And by the way, it's not just on Sunday. He's going to do the same thing for us tomorrow, Monday. And the same thing on Tuesday. And the same thing on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And again, next Sunday. I mean, he's got the whole universe to run. He's got the whole universe to hold together. I mean, there's not even a little sparrow that falls, the Bible says, that God doesn't know about. And yet, here's God every day of our life. He makes that day for us. Amen. He makes that day for us. At work, I try to be self-sufficient. I have a secretary that I share with somebody else, but I don't let her keep my calendar. I keep my own calendar. It really, really frustrates people because they call her and they say, we want to get on his calendar, and she can't put him on there because she doesn't know where I'm at, what I'm doing. You know, God keeps my calendar. I may think I'm self-sufficient. I may think I'm planning my day by keeping my own calendar. You may have a detailed schedule for tomorrow and the next day and the next day. But I want to tell you something. God's got it all planned out. Every single day of our life, he makes just for us. This is the day that the Lord hath made. What to do with today? Number one, realize that today was made by God. Number two, rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. Just because every day is made by God doesn't mean that I'm going to like everything that happens today. There'll be days where I will have hurt and heartache. There'll be days that there'll be pain and sorrow. There'll be days of bad news. There'll be days when the doctor will give you bad news. There'll be days when your loved ones will give you bad news. There may be days that your employer will give you bad news. It could be just a day of bad news. We cannot control what God puts on our calendars. We cannot control what God puts on our schedules. But we can control how we react to it. When God sends something unpleasant and puts something unpleasant on our calendar, we can get mad. I mean, we can say to God, "This is unfair. This is not right." We can go to God and we can say, "Hey God, do you have any idea what you're doing?" And if we're not careful, we can get bitter. And if we're not careful, we can be a real grumpy person. Because we think that we know more about what needs to be on our schedule than God does. That's why I don't let my secretary plan my schedule. I know more than she does what needs to be on my schedule. You say, "Well, you're a real haughty person." Yeah, I am in that regard. I have a very limited time that I spend in the office, and I don't want her setting up meetings for me that I don't need to go to, I can offer no value, and I don't need for people just to tell me how good they are. And a lot of meetings, that's all they are, is just people telling you how good they are. I don't have time for that. Now, I may think, and I think I'm right, I know more than she does about putting stuff on my schedule, but I want to tell you tonight, I sure don't know enough about what God puts on my schedule, and neither do you. I mean, he has a purpose for putting the unpleasant things there. And I can get mad, and I can get upset, and I can question God's wisdom, and I can question if God knows what he's doing, and I can get bitter, and I can get grumpy, or I can realize that God does know what he's doing, whether I understand it or not, whether he chooses to explain it to me or not, that God knows what he's doing. He has not only a plan for my life, he has a plan for the next 24 hours. And the things that he puts on my calendar and on my schedule are things that he knows I need. Now, I may not realize I need them yet. I may not even realize when I go through them that I need it, like we're talking about in testimony time. I may not even know what God's trying to do. But God does. God knows exactly what he's trying to do when he puts things on the plan for today for you. So I can decide how I react. I can get grumpy, I can get bitter, I can get mad, I can question God, or I can say, "Hey, God's God, he knows what he's doing, God's good, I'm just going to rejoice and be glad." Huh? I mean, look, you can let circumstances control your disposition, or you can say, "I am the master of my disposition, I am the master of what shows up on my face." I mean, I can be in turmoil because God knows that's exactly what I need, but I can rejoice and be glad that God knows what he's doing and he's not going to let anything get on today that he knows I don't need. And if we could just catch hold of that truth. A lot of times we go through life and say, "Boy, so many things have come barreling down on me today. God has had to be busy somewhere else. He must have been watching Brother Leonard today because my life has been a wreck today." You know what? We cannot overwhelm God. And this is what thrills my soul. This is what amazes me. God can have a plan for Donna and watch her all day and make sure that plan comes together. And he can have a plan for Phyllis and watch her all day and make sure that plan comes together. And for Dorothy, and for Bob, and for Chuck, and for Caitlin, and I'll just go on and on and on and on and on and on and down the line. You know what? He still has time to keep his eye on me. He still has time to plan my day. He still has time to bring into my day, onto my schedule, the things that he knows I need. I can decide to be bitter, or I can decide, "Well, I'm glad we got a God like that. I'm going to rejoice and be glad." And then quickly, number three, what to do with today? Realize that God made today. Number two, rejoice and be glad. Number three, in it. In it. God knows what today holds for you. God knows what today holds for me. And God will give us what we need to make it and handle what He has on our schedule today. Let me just let that truth sink in for a minute. Not only does God know what we're going to face today, you'll say, well, today's almost over. I know, but you still got a few hours before you go to bed. God knows what's going to happen the rest of the day. And He knows what you need to handle what's going to happen the rest of the day. And He gives us every day what He knows that we need. He'll give us wisdom to make the decisions that we need to make today. He'll give us strength to perform the tasks that He has for us to do today. He'll give us patience to endure the trying situations that He's going to put us into today. He'll give us forgiveness to forgive the wrongs that are going to happen to us today. He'll give us mercy and grace and love for those that we will encounter today. Now, here's what I mean by in it. I'm not going to take the wisdom that God's given me for the decisions today and waste it by reliving yesterday. He's given me enough wisdom for today. If I take some of that wisdom and go back and try to figure out what I did wrong yesterday and try to relive yesterday and undo yesterday, I'm not going to have enough wisdom to make it through today. And I'm not going to take the strength that He's given me to do the tasks that I need to do today and worry about tomorrow. Because I'll tell you what, if I spend all day worrying about tomorrow, it's not going to change tomorrow by one iota. That's a Greek term for you that don't know. It means about this much. It's not going to change it. I mean, I can take all the strength that God's given me today and I can spend that strength worrying about tomorrow, and it's not going to change tomorrow one bit. That's why Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Matthew Henry, I looked up that verse this afternoon. He said, look, every day has cares. To anticipate the cares of tomorrow and add them to the cares of today just doubles the cares that you have today. Don't borrow the cares from tomorrow. God hasn't given you strength to endure those. The only strength that He's given you is the strength to endure the cares of today, to handle the cares of today. So I'm going to stay in the boundaries of today. You know, we talk often, we talk about raising our kids, about drawing boundaries around them. And saying, hey, look, when you put a fence up in your backyard, that's what you're doing. You're putting a boundary up. Say, you can go out and play in the backyard. That means stay within the fence. Do you know that God has set the boundaries of our life today? That's the boundaries of our life. Too many of us are like a rebellious child. We want to get outside the boundaries. We want to go back and relive yesterday. Or we want to get outside the line and go worry about tomorrow. And God said, look, I didn't give you strength for yesterday, and I didn't give you strength for tomorrow. I gave you strength for what I put on your calendar today. Don't waste it by getting outside the fence. I gave you grace to get through today. Don't waste it by going back to yesterday or getting ahead of me and going to tomorrow. This is the day which the Lord hath made. I'm going to decide to rejoice and be glad, and I'm going to stay in it. Because that's what God wants me to do. Now, why can't we just decide, as God's people, to just do what this book says? I mean, here's a familiar verse. A simple verse. This hadn't been a deep message tonight. This is a simple, simple message. I mean, Jenna can understand what I'm talking about tonight. It's a simple message. Why can't we just do what God tells us to do. Bill, he didn't tell us what sins he committed, but he confessed his sins a minute ago. Joe was more specific in confessing his, and I don't know what Brother Larry was doing. But I'll tell you what, I dare say there's people in this room today, even though it was not part of God's plan for your day, you spend a good time of the day worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And I dare say there are people in this room, even though it was not part of God's plan for your life today, you spent some time going back and wishing you could undo yesterday. Wasn't on the schedule. Wasn't on the plan. You wasted some things that God gave you for today by visiting tomorrow and revisiting yesterday. Why can't we just be obedient children and say, this is the day which the Lord hath made. I will, a conscious decision, I will rejoice and be glad in it. In it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the simplicity of the Bible. And again, so many times we overlook the simple because we've seen it so many times and we've heard it so many times. And I pray tonight that you would take this truth. It's an exciting truth to realize that you plan every day of our life. And you give us every day of our life what we need to get through it. And I pray, Father, that we'd rejoice in that. I pray we'd be glad. Thank you for being a God that cares so much about us that you not only have a plan for our life, you have a plan for today. And I pray, Father, we'd live with inside that plan. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they would understand that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And if they've never received Christ, I pray tonight they would make that decision. They call upon Him, the only one that can make them right with you, the only one that can get their sins taken care of. Father, if there's a Christian here that needs to make some other decision, as the Holy Spirit has spoken to their heart, I pray they have listened and that they would be obedient. Bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.